In this episode of the Sacred Playgrounds podcast, Jake sits down with Tracy Gaslin, the CEO of the Alliance for Camp Health. They're going to talk through a framework for wellness that can get employed at camp and how everybody in your camp, all your staff, can be part of your health and wellness team. Welcome to the Sacred Playgrounds podcast, where we turn numbers into stories, data into insights. We dive deep into theology and research, paired with practical wisdom and action steps to help camping ministries thrive. I'm your host and producer, Jared Rendell, a camp enthusiast and part of the Sacred Playgrounds team. This podcast features Dr. Jake Sorensen, a scholar, author, practitioner, and the founder of Sacred Playgrounds. Be sure to subscribe, submit a question to us to be featured on the podcast, and click that support button to help make these episodes happen. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at Sacred Playgrounds or at sacredplaygrounds.com. Wonder with us what God might have in store at your Sacred Playground. Welcome to the playground, everyone. So this week, Jake sits down with Tracy Gaslin, and she's the CEO of the Alliance for Camp Health. She has a wealth of experience across different kinds of camps in this health and wellness kind of spectrum. And so they've known each other for a number of years. They were recently together as they're working together on a project that the Alliance for Camp Health is running and deeply involved in. And Jake's been pulled in to help with kind of a side of that project. And so they were recently in the same space together and got a chance to sit down and talk about health and wellness at camp, talk about this framework called the Mesh Framework that you can learn more about in the show notes, as well as the overall Campwell project. You can see more about that in the show notes. So I invite you to just sit back with me and listen in as we wonder with them about the impact that being intentional about health and wellness can have at camp. Before we do that, we've got to do our quick camp question.
Quick camp question.
All right, so our quick camp question for the week here for this episode comes from Abby at Luther Park in Chautauqua, Wisconsin.
Abby asks, our camp has been asked to lead lock-ins and youth retreats at area congregations. Will these kinds of activities help us with summer camper recruitment? Thanks, team.
Abby, thanks so much for that question. I love the question, and I love the idea of using our summer staff in the quote-unquote off-season. There's lots of different ways we can use our summer staff. We can use them at retreats at the camp. This one, though, you're talking about actually sending them, deploying your staff in the off season to local congregations, which reminds me of the program that we've talked about before called Traveling Day Camp, where we deploy our summer staff to these congregations to lead day camp programs there. So this would be similar, but it would be during the off season. What I love about this is it connects our camps with the congregation and it builds goodwill in those congregations. And that brings a lot of capital with it in terms of the partnership that you're doing. It's also great ministry. And so the question is interesting because you asked specifically about camper numbers. Will this help increase our camper numbers? My response to that is maybe. I don't think that we can assume that it's going to automatically increase our camper numbers. It might in terms of providing better goodwill with our congregational partners the pastor being more likely to encourage people to go to camp. Maybe for the young people that attend the lock-in, they'd be more interested in going to camp afterwards. So I would say maybe. But I would say the more important question is this important ministry? Is this valuable ministry? And the answer to that is yes. So we've got congregations that need help and they're requesting something like this. I think this would be a great service to offer to our congregations. And it helps bring in other voices for the young people that are going to a lock-in, maybe bring more people in and have some more excitement. So I think it's great ministry. I think it increases the partnership with the congregation and helps increase congregational engagement in your camp and your camping programs. And that in turn might improve your camper numbers. I don't think you're going to see like a noticeable bump in camper numbers, but I do think this is important ministry, and it's something that's worthwhile to do. And you're thinking the right way in terms of how can our camp connect more deeply with our partners in ministry, specifically our congregations. So I commend you for this, and I encourage you to figure out a way to make it happen. I mean, it sounds logistically challenging, and if you can figure it out, awesome.
Thanks, Jake.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Sacred Playgrounds podcast. Jake coming to you with a special guest today. I'm here with my colleague and friend, Tracy Gaslin, who is the CEO of the Alliance for Camp Health. And Tracy and I have known each other for several years. We got to know each other through the camping industry and through some of the research, and we've done a couple articles together. And I'm just really excited to be together in person with her today. Most recently, we've been engaging on this wonderful project called Campwell, which you can learn much more about on the ACH, that's Alliance for Camp Health website, and through the American Camp Association as well. So, Tracy, thank you so much for being with me today.
It's my pleasure, Jake. Always a joy to kind of do work together, right? To kind of engage in some really helpful things for the camping industry.
Absolutely. This is one of the key things that I like to do is collaborate and yes. and be a partner to all the people who are helping with the camping industry. And we do some things that are adjacent, right? I mean, neither one of us is serving at a camp currently. We have organizations that support camps in their ministries and in their work. And so tell me a little bit about the Alliance for Camp Health. For those people who don't know, give us a little rundown of who you are, what you do.
Sure, thanks. So the Alliance for Camp Health is a birth out of the Association of Camp Nursing. So many people still know us as Association of Camp Nursing, but we have recently, in the past couple of years, changed our name to the Alliance for Camp Health for really important reasons. And we know that we serve really three distinct populations. And we have for many years, but our name was somewhat limiting, that people thought, if I'm not a nurse, then I don't belong to that organization. When in actuality, we know that camp directors, behavioral health support, and healthcare providers are all integral to this whole concept of health and wellness at camp. So we serve those three distinct populations with the effort, of course, to undergird and support and guide and reinforce care for all the youth at summer camp, right? So it's a privilege to do what we do.
And you've been doing a lot of things on the national stage as well. I mean, of course, with the partnership with the American Camp Association, but especially during the COVID-19 pandemic. Tell us a little bit about your work during that crazy time.
It was somewhat of a crazy time, and we were very fortunate to engage with ACA and the Center for Disease Control and Prevention and talk about COVID and COVID webinars and town halls and really lean into that space with the sheer desire to bring information and education to the populations of camps and to say, here's what we know now. So in the past 2.5 years, you know, over 50 webinars talking about COVID and COVID within the context of communicable disease. And, you know, there's always going to be a communicable disease at camp. So, yes, we're all thrilled and very pleased that the COVID pandemic is somewhat past, but there's still plenty of communicable disease issues that we lean into and try to help camps navigate those experiences. We had COVID this past summer, several camps. We also had norovirus, and we also had strep. And so camps were still calling to say, how do I manage that? How do I work through that? And that's just a really fruitful and happy place for us to be able to come alongside them and say, here, let us show you some guidance and support.
I remember, I don't want to call them the good old days, but back when norovirus seemed like the worst thing that could strike a camp staff or a camp community. So thank you so much for your work during the COVID-19 pandemic. That was so important, the advocacy that you did and making sure that there were separate guidelines that the CDC endorsed for the camping community. We all benefited from the work that you all did.
You know, in the time of pandemics, nothing ever comes fast enough for any of us. So, you know, all camps, and we felt it too, that we wanted guidance quicker and sooner and totally got the concern and challenge of wanting to get that in different and better ways. But we're so thrilled that we were able to, again, be part of that experience, help give the CDC information. And we use information from schools that guide the summer camp practice arena, which then the schools use the summer camp experience to guide the guidance for schools. Oh. So it's kind of a very fruitful, helpful, circular kind of supporting of one another that we're helping academic institutions in the work that we're doing at summer camp as well.
Sounds like a wonderful partnership. And I'm so glad that you're fostering those partnerships between schools and camps and other caring organizations and out-of-school programs. So thank you so much for the work that you do.
Oh, my pleasure.
And thanks for your partnership in so many different things and the articles that we've worked on together. And just your promotion of the camping industry. So for our listeners, let people know a little bit about you and how you got into this work and what your connection is with camp. People always like to hear some of those personal stories.
Sure. I, of course, went to camp as a kid. I think, of course, we're kind of partial. We say every kid should have a camp experience and that it really is life-changing in so many ways. There's no other venue that replaces what we do at camp. But really my transition, my metamorphosis into really understanding camp happened when I was a brand new young nurse and a friend invited me to come to camp with her and to serve at a camp with youth who had bleeding disorders. Mm. And I said, okay, sure. I'll go to camp. I don't know anything about what I'm doing, but I'll go. It was a great invitation. I was going to be outdoors. How could this be a bad thing? And so I went, and that was 1996. So I'm telling you a little bit about my age here. And I haven't missed, except for the 1 year we went virtual for COVID, I've never missed a year camp. I always go because I think it's such a critical piece to stay grounded in the work. So went that first year. I was standing out in this beautiful camp, looking down over the lake in the basketball camp, and just almost felt like a rock hit me, like, wow, this is a space and time that could be really influential for children and for staff and for young people. And how do we use this in a way? Because we know the key about camp is time, that we have the time that nobody else has. And also the goal at camp is usually fun. And that within the fun and context of play, we really can achieve some really amazing things, that youth use play as their work and their way of figuring out their life. And their lived experiences and how they navigate and communicate, and that we can do that in such a powerful and safe way. So I loved camp. And since that 1996, I went that one camp that year. And then the next year I went to bleeding disorders camp and to oncology camp. And the next year I went to bleeding disorders, oncology, and asthma. And then so it just kept compounding. So I was teaching at a university and I had my summers off and I was like, let's go. It's summer. And I used to laugh and tell my students, wouldn't it be cool if I could be at camp year-round? Wouldn't that be just an amazing experience to be at camp year-round? And the next week, a phone call came from this new camp that was built in our state. And they said, we want to come talk to your students about volunteering at our new camp. I'm like, a camp? Sure, come talk to my students. Well, they came. And of course, I started asking 1,000 questions about the facility. And long story short, 3 weeks later, I had resigned my job as a professor and was now working as the medical director of special needs camp year-round. And I did that for 6 years and loved serving. We served about 83 different diagnoses, kids who would not have been able to go to camp any other way, and just been able to do some really fun and cool things through an experience of camp that's not offered anywhere else. And then I still, after the 6 years, I kind of came back and did some other work and leaned into the Alliance for Camp Health and became really involved with that work and how do we begin to expand our reach to the national audience and what we want to make sure they feel secure and ready for their camp experiences.
Such important work and such important ministry. Thank you for the work that you've been doing these many years and for the work that you do now with the Alliance for Camp Health, which again benefits all of us in so many different ways. And so as we think about health at camp, as we think about this time of post-COVID-19, hopefully we're post or at least the thick of the pandemic, you talk a lot about mesh and mesh plus. And so not everybody's up on the lingo of these different types of health. So could you define mesh and mesh plus for us a little bit and why that's important?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Because you and I both know that this is powerful work. And mesh is the concept of mental, emotional, and social health. And the concept of mesh plus says there are really 6 pillars of our well-being. That in addition to physical, mental, and emotional social health, we have collaboration or connection with nature, also our spirituality. All those pieces play into this wonderful undergirding of well-being as an individual. If I say health to somebody, they think physical is our first implication. Pretty normal. But what we really want to lean into with Mesh Plus is to say, how are you in all these pillars or aspects of mesh? And what does that mean? Because none of us are ever perfectly well, right? We're always working on different components of ourselves, always navigating. If it was a difficult conversation you need to have with a peer, if it's you've had some physical health issues, if it's that you haven't been connected to nature in a while, all those pieces play into our ability to really have this true sense of well-being. Mm-hmm. It's such a powerful statement when we lean into it and really lean into that work. So right now, yes, the mesh work is so important. We know from the research, we know from the statistics, we know from Vivek Murthy, the Surgeon General, talking about the state of loneliness of our youth in the most diverse, technologically savvy population of people, feeling the greatest sense of loneliness. So what is that that we really need to think about? We're missing something, right? Mm-hmm. Because they can connect. You and I, when we were young, we had to go to the roller skating rink to meet our friends. They don't have to do that anymore. In the same sense, there's a greater sense of loneliness and depression and anxiety than we've ever seen in our youth and even our young adults. And so we were working very hard to say, what are those pillars? What are the content and training we can bring to camp professionals that they can then lean in and teach their staff? Their staff need the support sometimes as much as the campers to really help them say, what does that look like? What is my sense of well-being? How do I have voice to my lived experience? So we love this work, and I could talk for hours, as you probably know, about this work, and just think it's so important what we're doing. Yes, doing the other things are important at camp. Medication management, everybody has to do that. There's just certain pieces that are just the norm for camp, but this Mesh Plus work is powerful, and it's going to continue to extend and grow and be molded in ways that suit the population as we continue to move forward. But even if we can say we help 2, 3, 4, 5 kids at camp, it's worth it, mm-hmm. right? We serve over 20 million children in summer camp in the U.S.
That's amazing.
Over 20 million children. When you stop and think about that, no other organization has that kind of impact. Schools, all kids go to school, but it's a very structured, goal-oriented. You have to pass the test. You have to read the book. You have to, and camps have the freedom, in a certain sense, to let play mm-hmm. and engagement with the natural environment be their educators. And we just get to come alongside them and enjoy that experience. So
I love this. And talking about play is something that we've done a lot on this podcast, talking about the importance of meeting the needs of the young people that come to us and the unique environment of camp and the unique opportunities that we have to reach young people in the camp setting. And we've heard this over and over in our surveys. And when we talk to camp directors, when we talk to counselors, the increases in some of the challenges related to mental, emotional, and social health. Especially in this time post-COVID-19. And so we've talked a little bit about the statistics in the past, and I know you don't have anything in front of you, but what are some of the things that you've seen in these last few years? You kind of mentioned a little bit about that in that you saw some increases in loneliness and things like that. But could you let us know from a medical specialty perspective and from a nursing perspective, from the Alliance for Camp Health perspective, what have you seen in the population of young people and young adults in the camp setting?
Sure. For the past 3 years, we've done research following COVID and the implications of that on mesh. And what does that look like coming out of camp each season? And we have found some very distinct features, right? One, emotional regulation issues. Mm-hmm. Youth not understanding how to agree to disagree in a respectful and kind way that you and I can have a very much a difference of opinion. You might say green beans are better and I say broccoli's better. And we can have a difference of opinion and still be respectful and be able to mold manage our emotions in a way that is important, right? Our students have lost that skill. They've lost opportunities to learn that skill. You think about the people who lost their high school graduation mm-hmm. or their prom. And we go back and think about our experiences in those moments, those are pretty influential. Mm-hmm. The students who are graduating this year from college have really only had about a year and a half or 2 years of true college experience. They've spent like 2 years home. Now think about your college experience, right? So influential in your what you learned and how you learned about your individuality and how your spiritual walk and all the pieces that kind of start to really make you identify who you are. They didn't get that. They didn't get that. They didn't get that connection with peer groups. They didn't get that connection with their Christian friends. They were home. And so, yeah, they've the emotional regulation piece, the piece about being anxious, really not knowing what that is and how to work through some of that. Some of the research has been talking about how some of the youth feel like they cannot function unless their phone is on their personal body, that is that necessary. We also know that this cell phone, if for example, is a stress reducer and a stress inducer.
Yeah, interesting.
Right? So they use their phone. They're like, I'm anxious. I need my phone to decompress. And at the same time, they get on social media or the things that where they see and hear things that cause stress. So what is this tool, which we all now need and use, that's a stress reducer and a stress inducer? And then how do you begin to help them navigate that? And in many cases, they come to camp and we say, no phones, because we understand the value of personal connection, learning how to make eye contact, learning how to remember somebody's name, and we feel like the phone gets in the way of that. Yeah, but this generation of youth might be a little different. Right.
Ooh, this is an interesting perspective, because we've talked about this before and the value of camp as one of the last places in existence where you are without your phone for a little while and you do learn a little bit of emotional regulation without those devices. And so it's complicated.
It's complicated. Complicated for parents, because parents have a hard time sometimes understanding that we want to partner with them and that we're not against them. That we really want a very strong partnership relationship around all these pieces about the relationship of your youth bringing their cell phone to this experience. So we have lots of work still to do in mesh around parent partnerships. And how do we begin to educate parents in a way that they go, oh, Camp Director Jake is for me. He's not trying to make my life and my child's life difficult. He really is trying to set my child up for success by removing the phone as a barrier to the really great, wonderful things that we want to happen at camp. It's just, it is a complex kind of...
It's complex. This is an interesting conversation. And so many things to think about as we think about mental, emotional, social health. In addition to the other three that you talked about, physical, environmental, and spiritual health. And so all six of these together in this idea of Mesh Plus. And I'm really curious about this idea of spiritual health, because of course we talk mostly with faith-based camps and camps that are, they're wearing their faith on their sleeve and they're really out there about being faith-centered and centering spirituality in the midst of all of their programs. We also know that there are so many camps, about 3/4 of the industry, that are not faith-based.
Right.
And some of them shy away from things like spirituality. And it becomes sort of a dirty word, or faith becomes a dirty word, or religion becomes a dirty word. So what's your insight about how spirituality and spiritual health is a universal construct and not just something relegated to faith-based camps?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Such a good question. And it's something that we have rumbled with, right? And our group, we get together, talk about this and work through this and try to bring people along in a way, because we are all spiritual beings. I say from, I'll come at things from a very medical perspective, right? I'm a nurse practitioner. So I can talk to you about the neurochemistry of your brain. I can talk to you about the gastric juices in your stomach. I can talk about the enzymes in your liver. I can talk about the insulin in your pancreas. So I also need to have people recognize, where do those emotions live? Because you cry and you laugh and you have joy and you have fear. What is that? That is your spirit. And that spirituality piece is ingrained, and we know, in all of us. There's no way you go through life without having emotions, and emotions drive behaviors. And so where does that sit? So we all are spiritual beings. And so we say, we're going to take you out of nature, or we're going to take a hike. We're going to go do some, give kids magnifying glasses and see if they can find the smallest bug in the forest, right? Whatever that is. We are, in essence, trying to help people realize that the experience of camp allows our spirit to realize that there's something bigger and more powerful than us. That there's something grander and more massive. So I'm sitting in a space right here with you that's beautiful, right? a space where there's mountains and glory, and how you look at that and go, there's something more powerful and more influential than me. It transcends my personal sense of self, something bigger. And from when you take some kids out of the woods and they go, look at those big tall trees, it puts you in a certain perspective of smallness, a healthy smallness, a healthy awareness of the greatness of this world that we live in. So I think that's for me, when I describe spirituality, how I kind of come at it. Because I am a very medical focus. I'm very left brain in most things, but this is such an important piece that people really don't stop and think about. Because when I say, where do your tears exist in your body? You know, what is your joy that you have about passing your school test? Where does that come from? It's your spirit. Spirituality. That's just part of our truly physical construct of who we are.
So you're talking about something that's universal and not necessarily based on doctrine or theology or specific belief systems, but more something that relates to awe and wonder and
transcendence.
The understanding, as you said it so eloquently, of something beyond ourselves, you know, something that I'm not the center of the universe, that there is something bigger than me, something that I can connect to and something that I am connected to.
We know from research that the only variable of all those pillars that you just mentioned, those six pillars, physical, mental, emotional, social, spiritual, that spirituality is the only one that has a perfectly inverse relationship with anxiety and depression. The higher spirituality, the lower your risk for depression and anxiety. The only one of those six pillars that consistently scores that way. So someone who is connected to their spiritual self and recognizes, wow, look at this big world. Wow, look at opportunities that are out there. Wow, look at what is existing beyond me. That's exactly what our youth need, because right now our youth are very focused on their internal anxiety, their internal feelings, and don't have a way to package that in a way that helps them see the bigger picture. It's very focused on their interests right now. Okay, how does that change if we go out and take a walk, look at the trees, and we take the focus onto something larger and greater than ourselves? It's just really kind of a magical experience for me every time I work with youth in that capacity, because I'm not there to fix them. You can't fix them. I can't. When our job is not to fix people. And people come at me and they say, I don't know exactly what to say, Tracy, when somebody says, I'm sad, happy, mad. I'm like, you just have to say thanks for telling me. You just have to say thanks for sharing. Thanks for trusting me enough to share. Your job is not to fix anybody. Only the good Lord above is going to fix things, right?
Amen.
So you and I are here just to be vessels of that and to say, thank you for sharing with me. That's such a really important piece to think about. There's not a magic to that.
Thanks for grounding us in this and for connecting it to the research, because this is something that not a lot of people know and not a lot of people acknowledge, the role of spirituality in our health and the inverse relationship that it has to, as you said, anxiety and depression. That's something really telling as we see the increases in anxiety and depression and the decrease in people adhering to this understanding of spirituality. We can see that in our broader culture right now. And so this is something that we all need to talk about, whether or not we come from a faith-based perspective. Spirituality is still a very important thing. And so I think making that connection is important for our faith-based camps, but also making that distinction so that we understand this as a universal concept that our faith leads us into.
It's interesting when you're talking with youth. I love that idea, right, about the constructs and how they really can be so different in essence. Because if I talk with youth or staff about their anxiety, I'm like, where is that sitting within yourself? Where does that come from? Right? And they say, well, my thinking or you know, my heart beats fast. Those are manifestations of this concept of anxiety. But they don't realize that the love of self and the anxiety and the depression and spirituality are all sitting in that spirit. And they have a place that we can mold and work with and come alongside them and really beautiful ways. I call those the sacred moments to me. The moments where I can say, wow, this is a sacred space in time. The sacred spaces can be anywhere, right? You define a sacred space because it holds special emphasis and power in your lived experience.
Even a playground could be sacred, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
This is so fun. So Tracy, thanks so much for laying these things out for us and for the understanding of well-being and the different constructs that we have to really think about and focus on as we try to come alongside campers and our staff to promote well-being in all of our camp community. I'm a camp director listening to this right now, and I'm saying, okay, this is great conceptually. I love the way that you frame these things. Now, what can I do about it? I'm not asking for a full plan here, but if we need to really help the rubber meet the road here, what are the most important things that I, as an executive director, a program director, somebody who cares deeply about kids in the camp setting, what are the most important things that I can do to promote well-being?
There's so many wonderful things we can do, right? And so I'm going to give you probably two or three kind of really key pieces. The first piece I talk about a lot is that I want everybody to understand that everybody at camp, all your staff, all your leadership, all of them belong to your health and well-being team.
Mm. This is great. Okay, so it's not just a professional that does it.
Your counselors are the eyes and ears of your organization. And when a camper leaves your facility and they walk up to the car and they get in the car with mom and mom says, how was your camp? And 90% of the time the kids go, I love my counselor, Jake. Jake was the camp. The relationship the camper made with that counselor was the camp experience. That's why they came and that's why they would come back. Mm-hmm. So that relationship building is all about empowering your staff to be the eyes and ears and heart and have some basic skill set to say, I can come alongside kids who are struggling. We're not here to fix kids. And none of us on the health and well-being team are here to fix kids. So whether I'm serving as your nurse at camp or I'm in a counselor role, my job is to be present and to listen and let the child be heard.
Those three things. Say those again.
To be present, right? That's why camp is beautiful. Remember, I said the gift we have is we have time. Just be present. Be listening and let the child feel heard. If you're present and listening, that child will feel heard. And no, they're not asking you to fix the problem. There are going to be youth that come from difficult home environments. There are going to be youth that come from disadvantaged situations. We all have those groups. And the opportunity and the joy we give is our being present with them and listening and saying, sounds like that was a difficult time. Sounds like you've really been thinking about this a lot. My language is, how do we set the camper up for success? And over again, it's being present and listening so they feel heard. This is not rocket science.
Right.
Because you want that, and I want that, and our youth desperately need that, and they've not received that in many ways because of the pandemic or other situations. And our gift of time that we receive by these kids being at camp, whether it's a week, 2 weeks, a month, whatever that is glorious. Because I think the first time I went to camp, I stood there, I'm like, I have a whole week with these kids. Mm-hmm. Not just a clinic visit, not just a doctor's appointment. I have a whole week in that canoe and act like a six-year-old and have a great time with them. And let them tell stories and let them cut up and feel like this is part of the beautiful thing of what they're doing is becoming and understanding who they are and what they love to be.
This is great. This is achievable. This is attainable, right? We can train this. We can empower our staff to do these things and to be part of, as you said, our well-being, our team of well-being. How did you put it?
Well-being, yeah. Health and well-being, yes.
Our health and well-being team. This is great. So everybody in your organization is a part of this. And these are the three things that we are empowering them all to do, to be present, to listen, to make sure that the campers are heard.
Yes.
And to make sure that the fellow staff. Each other, yes.
Right? Absolutely. And we often get so caught up in that, like I said, this desire to fix things. That's not our job. We're not there to fix anybody or any situation. And that's where staff say, I don't know exactly what to say. You need to tell me what to say so I can fix their sadness, so I can fix their frustration, so I can fix their depression. No, that's not our job. That's not our job. And so that only comes from the top down. So I'll say the second thing I would tell you is really thinking about your camp culture. So when I go in and start talking about mesh concepts and different things you can try or do, I've had camp directors come up and say, now look, Tracy, sounds like you're trying to change our camp culture. And I say, does it need to be changed? Mm-hmm. I'm here just to give you some ideas, thoughts, ways to look at things differently. And some camp directors will come and go, you know what? I think I really need to rethink what I'm doing. Other camp directors go, no, I think we're feeling good. Oh, that's fine. We're not here to fix people. We're here to walk come alongside them and say, here's some new evidence. Here's some new information. How might this be beneficial to you as a camp? And to see how people integrate and use different pieces of the work we do is just so exciting.
I love this. So we're establishing a culture of well-being.
Establishing a culture of well-being.
Okay. And everybody's part of our health and well-being team. Okay. These are two important concepts. I love it. Okay.
And see, listen, so people are heard. Be present, listen, so people are heard. That's all you have to do. Be present, listen, so people are heard.
These are wonderful things that we can all take to heart and put into action steps for the well-being of our staff and our campers and ourselves.
Oh, and ourselves, yes. We have to have a sense of well-being if we're going to translate that to anybody else. Mm. We have a sense of understanding when we're not in a well state, like I'm really struggling in this area of maybe emotional health, or I'm struggling with some social relationships, and know that that does impact our behaviors to the rest of the world, our influence of the other people we're interacting with, and just being able to be aware of that is even powerful.
That's so important. So many of us, whether we have a messiah complex or we're just workaholics in the camping field, we overwork ourselves and we stress ourselves out so that we are not well. And when we are not well, we're not contributing to a culture of well-being for our staff and our campers.
What is it? Do what I say, not what I do, because that's what we do, right? If we want staff to take time off and to demonstrate well-being, we have to walk that walk. We have to be the people who say, I'm taking an hour to go rest, or I'm going to go have some time alone because I need to have some alone time to restore.
And we know how important that is in the camp setting. Modeling is so important. Those campers are always watching those counselors. Not just what they say in the curriculum that they have or the what they're leading during Bible study, but how are they walking the walk and how are they interacting with one another and with other people and how are they reacting when they get upset? All those things. And so establishing a culture of well-being sounds like starts at the top. Starts with us.
Starts at the top. Yeah, and that's a hard pill for us to swallow sometimes, right? Because we're like, oh, I can muddle through. I'll be okay. You probably can't. But in the larger context, you are the light that's on that people are watching. You're the guiding light for how you want this culture of camp to play out. And if staff say, well, they don't value this piece enough to do due diligence for themselves, then I shouldn't really. Maybe I don't have to really buy into that piece either. That's not a priority for them. That's not really a priority for me. So, yes, it's very hard for us to change ourselves is the hardest part, right? But that's really the only people we have influence over. Ourselves and how we direct our lives and really in living positively, using positive psychology, engaging in positive ways is how other people will mimic that work.
Tracy, this is so fantastic. It's fascinating. It's so helpful for all of our listeners and all the people in there. We could talk forever. And friends, we will continue to talk after we get offline here and maybe go for a hike in the mountains because we are in this beautiful, beautiful place. So how can we find you? How can we get more resources and learn more about this amazing knowledge that you're dropping for us?
Absolutely, yes. The Alliance for Camp Health is our website. You can type that in. It's all one word, allianceforcamphealth.org. A whole area for Mesh Plus work, programs we're building out, resources. There's a Mesh resource guide. If you say, I just want a guide that I can work through myself, that's there for you. 120 pages of robust information help you with your staff and with your campers before they even get to your door, during the camp experience and post-camp.
Yeah.
Because we really think all those pieces are valuable in helping you lean into understanding what is your capacity, what kind of campers can you have the capacity to serve. So the resource guide, there's pocket guides.
Oh, I was going
to
say 120 pages sounds like a lot. Do you have a pocket guide? And now you do.
We've distributed over 10,000 copies of the pocket guide already.
Oh.
So when that hit and we sent that out, we were shocked and amazed. And the pocket guide was built by camp counselors for camp counselors.
So this is something we can put in the hands of our summer staff.
Every counselor has it. They can pull it out and it's waterproof. And when the horse steps on it or they drop it in the lake, they just pick it up.
Wow.
Shake it off.
It's horseproof?
Horseproof, I think.
That is yeah, something
it was,
else.
It's something that was very concrete, simple, straightforward to help counselors right in the moment. Mm-hmm. Because even the training we all forget. And they get in a situation and they're standing there going, what do I say? And they pull out their pocket guide and they go, thank you so much for sharing that with me. It's that simple, but they don't remember. So that resource has been hugely helpful. Mesh protocols, a variety of other tools are there. So we're just more than excited to share that with everybody in the camping world because we think we do have the opportunity to influence the future generations in ways that nobody else has. So we feel very blessed every day to do the work that we do.
And we feel blessed to have you as part of this community and to have you as a partner with Sacred Playgrounds. And I'm so excited about the projects we have moving forward, including this Campwell project, which you can read more about on the Alliance for Camp Health website. Yes. And so thanks for these resources. So friends, you've got some action steps here. You have to look at the culture of your camp in terms of well-being. And so establishing a culture of well-being starts with you. And to make sure that all of your staff know that they are part of your health and well-being team. And then you've got a load of resources that you can get from the Alliance for Camp Health. So go forth and be well, everybody. Take care of your own health and wellness. Find your space that you need to be well and to connect spiritually. Thank you so much, Tracy, for joining us. And friends, we'll see you next time.
A big thank you to Jake and Tracy for talking us through those things. Before we go, before we close up, it's time for our stat of the week.
Stat of the week.
Stat of the week.
Stat of the week.
All right, the stat of the week this week comes from our parent survey, hot off the press. We heard from more than 1,500 camper parents at more than 11 different camping organizations, which represent something like almost 20 different camps. And so a lot of different parents responded. And these are primarily our mainline Christian camps here. And so these folks, the stat of the week this week is 85%. 85% of parents say that their child grew in self-confidence during the camp week. And so this parent survey, remember, comes after the camp experience is done. So they're responding within 2 to 4 weeks of the camp experience. And these are parents that are agreeing with the statement that my child grew in self-confidence. 85%.
It's a lot.
I think it's a lot. And I think it's a great number to remember. You know, we often talk about the faith-centered nature of camp, which is incredibly important. And, you know, we hit that really hard. But trying to remember that these camps are also part of the larger camping network. And camp does some very important work in terms of character development, in terms of bringing people out of their comfort zones, away from home,
right,
helping them develop independence, self-esteem, self-confidence, leadership, all of these different things. And we measure these in the survey as well. So to find something like self-confidence at 85% is really an exciting thing. And this is, remember, this is from the parent's perspective. So they're noticing these changes in their child. So it's a really reliable source of information, right, about how their campers are growing. The other thing to remember, you know, we talked last week about how many camp directors emphasize fun. It was 90%. You know, think fun is very or extremely important. And among these Outdoor Ministry Connections directors, one of the few things that's rated higher than fun is self-esteem and character building. And so this is a priority, right, of the camp directors. And we see that because it's a priority, this is also something that we can see the outcomes. And so that's a wonderful thing. When we prioritize something, we actually make an impact.
I appreciate that as a parent, right? Because like you said, we sort of expect them to have a good time. We saw all the pictures or the videos or the whatever on the way in. So we expect them overall to have, you know, to have all these fun activities and things like that. We expect them to have some fun. And since they're going to this Christian camp, we expect them to hear about Jesus a little bit. When it also, especially at that level of agreement, is I'm seeing my kid be a little bit different. Right? They are walking taller. They're having some confidence, some of those character things. That's where those ratings go 9 and 10 when their kids are, you know, when their kids are acting like that. So thanks, Jake. Hey, everybody, you can download, by the way, a graphic in the show notes that shares that, right? So you can hit share. And whether you're a parent or whether you're a camp person who is sharing that out from your camp, whatever it might be, download that graphic, share that. If you've got a story connected to that where you saw something like that, go ahead and hit share and share that. Tag us in that at Sacred Playgrounds and all those different things. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will see you next time on the Sacred Playgrounds podcast. Thanks for listening to the Sacred Playgrounds podcast. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/sacredplaygrounds or at Sacred Playgrounds on Instagram. Be sure to hit the follow or subscribe button wherever you're getting this podcast. And if you like this content and it's helpful, you can support the podcast by clicking that support button. Our theme music was written and performed by Taylor Wilson. You can find all his original songs wherever you get your music. Learn more about what we're up to and connect with the team at sacredplaygrounds.com.